Right, tell me who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
Oh boy. Man, it's quite a list. So I'm a master diver, I'm a firewalk instructor, I'm a public speaking instructor. I have created a community for gamers of like a positive place for them to exist because, yeah, that's a lot of it right there.
Benefit physically and spiritually doing firewalking.
What confidence has, you know, how it affects you, like your adrenaline, your cortisol, that kind of thing, like the happy feeling it gives you of achieving something that you never thought you could do. Spiritually, I guess I would say, it brought me to the place of certainty that I really can do anything I put my mind to. There's literally nothing that I cannot do in all aspects of your life, just knowing from that experience, well, if I really set my mind to something, there's nothing I can't achieve.
Why is that physical thing not burning, which should be burning?
I cannot explain the physics behind it other than it's all here. Like, it's the power. The brain is the most powerful thing in what we could conceive of as, I guess, the universe, or at least the planet. Without operating on the right vibration, you will get burned.
Tell me who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
Oh, boy. I am Scuba Steve. I do an awful lot of things because that's what I like to do.
And what are these things that you do?
So, man, it's quite a list. So I'm a master diver. I'm a firewalk instructor. I'm a public speaking instructor. I have created a community for gamers of like a positive place for them to exist, because I've only ever seen toxicity in that arena. I stream live on Twitch. I have a YouTube channel. I do an awful lot of things. yeah, that's a lot of it right there.
So I did firewalking for the first time last year, and I think I spoke to you about this last year, and I was like, does it hurt? How do you do it? Because I imagine flames. I imagine walking on flames. I'm like, I know there's power of the mind, but how the fuck are you supposed to walk over flame without burning yourself? And obviously, they burnt the logs and they singed it down and they were tapping it and patting it. And it's basically just ash or charcoal in a very small form. And we had to wait for ages, like 40 minutes, for it to be a certain temperature. And then I walked straight over it. And what I found was that when I was walking, if I wasn't keeping that speed, it would burn, but as long as my foot wasn't touching it for like more than a second 0.1 or whatever it is, then I'd never actually burn my foot. And so I managed to go through the whole thing. And you dip your feet in the water at the end, give yourself a little twiddle, and it's pretty good. But I found that a lot of people there, they were really prepping themselves up for it, like they were literally about to jump out of a plane. And I'm like, you're just walking over what's supposed to be burning hole, but it's actually not that hot, so I don't get the need for this mental prep. But either way, it was pretty fun doing it.
It depends on the delivery though, because like the waiting forever seems just wrong to me, because it's supposed to be 900 degrees and then over time like it'll cool down, but that's why like they stop you, and then there's usually what's called a feeder fire to where they'll refresh the coals to get it back up to around 900 degrees so that you can continue walking on it. And I mean, this isn't something I would usually talk about, but just from sharing your experience, like I have done fire standing where I just walk out into the middle and stand there. So it isn't really a, you know, skin in contact with heat for fractions of a second sort of thing. It really is a power of the mind scenario. My favorite moment that I recall was the first time I ever did it, not just because it was the first time. It was just simply an amazing moment where Christina is my girlfriend. We were having the experience together. There were two separate fires. She was over on one fire. I was over on another fire. We were both kind of dealing with our shit, you know, our personal shit, like separately. And then we came together. And when we came together, it was just amazing because she migrated from her fire over to the one that I was walking on. And we walked on opposite ends of the circle, towards each other in the middle, and we're just standing there together, like holding hands and staring into each other's eyes. And it was like an eternity in a moment kind of situation. But literally just fire standing with her was one of the most amazing experiences of my life.
What is the benefit physically and spiritually doing fire walking?
I don't know if there's a physical benefit other than the ramifications of like what confidence has, you know, how it affects you, like your adrenaline, your cortisol, that kind of thing, like the happy feeling it gives you of achieving something that you never thought you could do. Spiritually, I guess I would say, for me and for many, it brought me to the place of certainty that I really can do anything I put my mind to. There's literally nothing that I cannot do if I can, because we know like 900 degrees melts flesh, but somehow mentally I can avoid melting my flesh. It's amazing. And so taking that forward and applying that, or trying to apply it, I should say, in all aspects of your life, just knowing from that experience, well, if I really set my mind to something, there's nothing I can't achieve. That I think was the biggest thing that I take away, and that others who have shared their experiences with me have kept for themselves, and gone on to do really great things.
So you're not just walking, you're actually standing on 900 degrees of fire. How long are you standing there for?
I don't time it. It's a feeling.
Is it at least a minute?
At least, yeah. It's usually a few. Like I've done up to, well, I have not done a full 15 minutes. I have witnessed another participant standing there for 15 minutes. Yeah.
And why is your foot not burning? Obviously, there's mind over matter, but in terms of a physical thing, why is that physical thing not burning, which should be burning?
I cannot explain the physics behind it other than it's all here. Like it's the power. The brain is the most powerful thing in what we could conceive of as, I guess, the universe, or at least the planet. I can't give you a scientific answer to that. I just know that without the right mental state, or I'll extend it a little bit and say without operating on the right vibration, you will get burned.
So are we simply pointing energy to our feet to basically in real time produce millions and millions and millions of new soul and feet cells to replace the ones that are burning in real time, versus if you just didn't focus your energy and have the correct mindset, you'd actually burn? Is it something to do with that? For example, if I got a pan and put it on my stove and I put some bacon in it, bacon's going to cook. If I stood on the frying pan, are you saying with my mind, my feet aren't going to burn? Because I'm pretty sure that the gas flame is not 900 degrees. It's probably a lot less. So if I was to, you know, have the pan and the bacon and then the fire with the bacon, it's both going to cook. But are you saying I can stand on the frying pan with the right mindset and my feet won't burn the same as if I stood on the fire and the bacon would cook?
So not only am I going to support that, but I will tell you that this thought process that you have has already been had and challenged by who is known as the godfather of firewalking in the United States, a man named Tully Burkan, who is still alive. I think he's in his 80s right now. And he's still very active and he'll walk on anything. But he went through this exact same thing, received the same challenge. I think it was from a fireman, actually. And effectively, long story short, was they heated up like a 10-ish foot piece of metal because it would take longer to cool and all this, right? So it's easier to measure heat, all that. The argument being scientifically, like, coals, they're not all the same temperature. They will cool a little bit quicker as you step on them. Heat may dissipate faster. Like all this physic, like logic to being able to explain it away. And so he said, okay, then let's do this. He's like, I'll do it. And literally He left footprints in the metal, not from leaving skin behind, but because it was so hot. Like, think of it like when somebody's laying concrete for a sidewalk and then somebody walks on it, right? And they leave their footprints in it. That's exactly what happened. So, I mean, it's absolutely power of the mind. It's an amazing thing to see. Most people will never experience it because they will never believe it. And I think it takes experiences like this to begin to open your mind. I know for me, I'll tell you, the first time that I was told that I was going to walk on fire, I was like, no, the fuck I'm not. That was never anything I was ever interested in doing.
So you're saying that I could stand on a frying pan over the stove cooking bacon and it wouldn't burn my feet the same as if I was standing on the firewood, Cole? It wouldn't burn my feet?
Nope. I would do it.
I would be happy to do it
and record it.
If I didn't have the correct mindset on the frying pan.
Oh, you'd burn for sure. Yeah, you'd burn.
So the same as I would burn if I was walking on firewood. So basically, something happens on a cellular level where you prepare your mind and your body for what's about to happen. It's something that happens energetically.
Yeah. I mean, I can't, that level of operation, like I can't explain the logic behind it. I just know from experience that when you can elevate your vibration to a certain state, you can achieve seemingly anything, right? And I believe the people that are really high achievers, and this is not like physical, I mean, doesn't matter what it is, business, you know, like establishing a new country or town or whatever, like people that do those kinds of things, I think they're very aware of it's this. It's not I'm such a great person and I'm doing a thing, right? The old African proverb, like if you want to go far, go alone. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. They also know like one person can't really do a thing. You need a lot of people working together to achieve something. But it's that one person with that one mindset and that one vision that allows that sort of thing, allows the right energy to support it and just continue on. And right now, that's how I'm trying to live my life.
See, Joe Dispenza, I'm sure you know him. He has these retreats around the world where he's healing everyone from cancer to broken backs to being deaf to being blind to not being able to breathe to like every single thing. There's not one thing that he's not been able to fix physically and mentally that we believe is impossible to fix. It's like there's nothing that can't be fixed. And the people that meditate are healing themselves, but then there's also the people that are being healed by other people meditating in the same room. So what does that say? It says that we can create a certain energy in us, or other people can create a certain energy in us that can basically reprogram the body to what it was born with. So I was laughed at college when I said to my teacher in front of the class, if I have no arm and I have a kid, will it also have no arm? And obviously they laughed at me, but what I was in my mindset trying to explain is that if my body over time gets used to not having an arm, will it bother waking one? You know, we don't have tails anymore as apes because we didn't need it anymore. So eventually we just have a tailbone. So if, for example, an octopus loses a leg, it grows back. There is many fish and many insects like snakes, and you chop a worm in half and it will just continue to live. You know, pull off a snake's leg and it grows another one back. So there's something telling us in the animal world, even like plants, you pull off a leaf, another one will grow back. You pull off a twig, you pull out a root, things grow back to what its DNA was at birth or what it was programmed with at birth. And we think that, you know, if we lose a lung, lose a kidney, lose a thyroid, lose whatever, that we've lost it. But there's been proof that someone in Joe Dispenza's community, she had thyroid issues and she had one removed. And through the meditation, she grew back another thyroid. Joe Dispenza broke 8 vertebrae in his back. He fixed his back. There was a recent testimonial on his YouTube channel that she broke 1 vertebrae and she was in the hospital. And they were saying, look, you need to have surgery. Basically, you need to pierce off because we could be making money here while she was sat in that bed. And she was refusing medication and she fixed her back and she just walked out with the mindset. So if, for example, our cells are going to die in our feet because we're told they're going to die, then we expect them not to grow back, right? If we're thinking that this kidney or thyroid that we have isn't going to grow back because we're told we've only got one, it's not going to bother. But if we're sitting or standing on that fire pit thinking, okay, we're going to grow new fresh cells in million speed per hour, that every time it burns a cell, it's going to create five more, then our body's going to get to work and somehow regenerate cells so quickly, just like when you burn yourself or have a cut, you grow skin back. Like if I've got a cut, I wake up the next day and it's pretty much healed. So if we can literally heal a cut overnight, well, fucking hell, we can heal our feet in the same speed. But because we're focusing on the feet, we might be able to heal it quicker versus, oh, I've got a cut, normally takes 3 days. No, but with the mindset, we might be able to heal our feet in real time so quick that all the burning cells just replenish that we don't even realize they've died.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, it makes sense to me. I don't need the raw data, like the evidence of this is exactly how it works, because it works. Like whether it's prevention of burning or replenishment, the way you describe, I'm only focused on end results. I was a lifelong perfectionist in all things that I had done. Right when I was very young, I was a auto mechanic. I got certified as a teenager, and then I shifted into technology, and I spent 21 years doing that as an architect. Like I've done a lot of stuff, and I've always gotten wrapped up in the minutia of the details, like the planning, the execution, the how, all the stuff. And it's a very difficult shift to get away from that mindset, that mentality of perfectionism. And the biggest thing for me was the constant reminder of just focusing on the end result and releasing or not being attached to the details. The details don't matter. There are people, I used to be one of them, for that, who worry about the details, who jump down into the weeds and have got to know. I don't do that anymore. I have a vision. I set my intention and then I let it be easy. And the answers come to me, or whatever it is just comes to me. I don't chase anything anymore. I just focus on what it is that I want and I allow it to happen. Some things happen instantly, right? A lot of people, they want to focus on like instant manifestation. Oh, you can have everything instantly. Well, until you show me someone who gets everything that they want instantly and can teach others how to do it, I'm not going to get hung up on that. I'm going to get hung up on what I currently understand. And I say currently because I like to think and I try to keep an open mind to be able to learn and grow. Maybe there is a way. I'm absolutely open to it. I don't know that, but I know that I'm a manifesting beast. And motherfucker, if I want something, goddammit, I'm going to get it. Like, it's going to happen. I just have to be detached from the how and then the timeline.
Yeah, it's very true. Because when I was growing up, you know, I believe my grandma's spirit was doing everything for me, right? I'd ask grandma for this, for that, for money, for love, for whatever I wanted, and it would show up. And it literally was like placing an order, like, grandma, I want to do this, and it showed. It's the same for God. It's the same for universe. It's the same for praying. So I will try to work out, you know, was she actually there? And when you let go of the fact, it doesn't matter whether she was there or not. Did the results come? Did you find money? Did you find love? Did you want to find three people called Danny Boyle in within 10 minutes of going from shop to shop? It doesn't matter who did that. Just enjoy the fact that you can literally say, I want to see three Danny Boyles in 3 minutes, and it happens. And, you know, I think as humans, we want to control everything. Yeah. We want to fill up with the dominant species. We can control everything. We can control the planet, global warming, control wars. We can control nature, heal disease, fucking put Elon Musk's chip in your brain and read what you're thinking about. We want to control everything. And then we forget the fact that one little virus can just wipe us all out in seconds. One flood, one snowstorm, one fucking asteroid hitting the earth fucks everything up. We are powerless. That we have as much power as an octopus, right? In fact, the octopus can actually grow back another leg. So actually that's got more power than a human. But yeah, letting go of the outcome and just appreciating how what the result is. It doesn't matter why or how you can stand on that fire, which defies the odds of you're going to burn. Like if I pick up a saucepan out the oven, we're told, you know, we're going to burn yourself. And if I do pick up the tray, I do burn myself. My skin is white. But are you saying that if I mentally prepared myself, I could take out the oven tray without an oven glove and not burn myself? Or could you do a handstand on the fire and not burn your fingers? Or is it the feet are different to fingers in terms of strength? Or does that not matter? You could lie on your back and you
It
still
doesn't
wouldn't
matter.
burn.
Yeah, you could lay any part of you. The only thing that I would say that I would recognize as my mental limitation is, for whatever reason, I have this block that I don't see how that can apply to hair. If I was to lay in fire, I have no, there's no doubt in my mind that my skin would not burn. My hair, on the other hand, I would expect to catch on fire, so I'm certain it probably would. And I do believe that it's possible for you to extend that, I'll call it energetic protection to your hair. I'm just sharing with you, like, I've never thought of it until you just asked me, and I caught that in my awareness of imagining, all right, if I lay down on my back on fire, like, I fear nothing as far as my flesh goes. Mentally, I'm not classifying hair as flesh or anything that I might be wearing as flesh. So suddenly I feel like, well, I don't have control over those. But then again, my conscious mind is going, but do you? Like, can you actually do that? So again, I'd be willing to test that
Well,
theory.
no, because like an oven tray is 180 degrees, right? And I know if I touch it, I've burnt myself. It's gone white. But you're saying you can stand on 900 degrees of the firewood, or the other guy who actually stood on metal, or was it 900 degrees of metal?
Oh yeah.
And
Yeah,
that's like
it was
five times
so
hotter than an
hot.
oven tray.
It was so hot that he left footprints in the metal.
That's
It's
not that's five
amazing.
times as hot as a oven tray,
At
and
least.
he didn't burn. I mean, I don't want to put you in danger, but I'd love for you to somehow experiment that. Get an oven tray, do a video like, hey, my name's Scuba Steve. This is an oven tray. I'm using the power of the mind to take out the oven with my fingers. No burn. That would be so impressive, and actually probably would go viral online if you pulled out an oven tray in the oven, which was 180 degrees, and
I
you
like
didn't
that
burn
idea.
yourself. And the
Well,
message is the power of the mind.
I would probably do either 350 or 425 because that's what we cook all the time here with anyway. So I'd probably do one of those temperatures. I'm really looking forward to this, honestly. The thing that I'm hung up on is, by doing that, what's the angle? Like, how am I serving people? Just by doing it is just simply showing off, and I have no interest in doing that. So it's as soon as I wrap my head around, by doing this, how can I be serving other people in a positive way? Then done. I'm doing it.
Yeah, so you showed the oven is 400 degrees. You've got lamb chops cooking in there for 3 hours, right? And then you simply open the oven door, use your hand, you pull out the tray for 5 to 10 seconds, and you put it on the side, nothing. The message would be the power of the mind. You're going to tell people, okay, this tray's been in the oven for 2 hours. I'm going to prove to you that the mind is so powerful that I can actually take out the oven tray with no mittens on, and there's no burning, there's no redness of my skin. And then a few hours later, a few days later, you still show there's no burn. And you do before and after videos and pictures. Nothing there. There's no cream, there's no gel or anything. And I've taken it out and there's nothing. How did I do that? The power of the mind. The message is whatever you put your mind to is the reality. There's no limit to what you can put your mind to, whether it's starting a business, whether it's ice baths. I did an ice bath for 6 minutes today. Just a month ago, I was only doing 3 minutes because I'd already programmed myself that 3 minutes is all I can do. And I watched this woman do seven. I thought, fucking hell, I've got to do seven. And then I now I can do six. So just by my mindset, I can change it. And my hands are burning in the ice bath. And I'm thinking, no, I know after 3 minutes it stopped burning. And then I can cope. In the sauna, I'm like, fucking hell, this is too hot. And I go, no, we know you can do 15 because you did it when the woman was there. Okay. So you can do 15. And it basically comes down to you program your brain for a certain outcome, you expect it. Something's wrong if it doesn't happen. And that will be the message that your brain and mind is so powerful that you can not only condition your mind, but your body physically to take out an oven tray that's 400 degrees without burning. That's probably never been done, if I'm honest, right? Because
I bet someone's done it, but if it's never been done, all the better, right? To be the only person to do it like that, that's cool. But it's, again, awareness, right? Like, I don't want to let ego get in the way, right? Because it's real easy. Like, oh, nobody's done it before, and I'd be the only one. Oh, yay, look at me, right? But that's not what it's about. So, like I said, I need to reconcile how, by doing this, what's the message and how is it actually serving people in a positive way? Versus just, oh, look at me and what I did. Like that's not a positive thing.
Yeah, like right now, I'm thinking, like millions of others, is if there's no way you can take out an oven tray at 400 degrees and not burn yourself, because from my experience of burning myself, I just touch it for seconds and it goes white. So for me, that is going to be truly fascinating to see if it actually can be done. Because, you know, like seeing is believing, and walking on fire is different to the oven tray thing. But I would be absolutely astonished if there is no burn, because, again, I can't even imagine that being possible. So if it is possible, what does that say to people that all you did was prepare your mind for the result you wanted and your body fell in line? Like, that is extremely powerful.
Yeah. I think it'd be great. Like I said, as soon as I can find what the message is, I'd be really happy to do it. I think it'd be awesome. I actually think it would be a challenge. Like, I think Christina would want to do it. Like, we'd be fighting over who gets to do it kind of thing. Cause it's funny mentality. So she literally calls her hands of gloves, because she often reaches in and grabs hot items with no mitts or anything like that. I think in her own mind, like the higher it gets, the less she's going to be grabby, like if it's 400 degrees or something like that. But I mean, I've seen her do it a number of times. Yeah, rather quickly, to be fair. But same time, no oven mitts, just with her hands. Oh, I can do it fast enough. Just reach in and grab a tray and pull it out and put it on top of the oven. It seems crazy to me because I have that. I've never thought of it in the way that you presented it. But thinking about it like that, I'm like, okay, yeah, great. Let's do this. As long as it has some sort of positive outcome, because no matter what you do, and I mean, I get this in everything that I do, no matter what you do, you're always going to have some level of negativity and challenge against you, right? So even with that, there are going to be people that are going to come up with crazy theories of like, oh, the oven's not really on, it just says it's this, and like there's all going to be all kinds of bullshit like people are going to make up, because in their minds they cannot accept, they refuse to accept, and they're unwilling to be open enough to imagine a world where that's actually possible. So you're always going to have that, no matter what it is. It's the same thing in my life. It's the same thing. Even though I created an entire community of positivity, there's still people that shit on me there. There's still people that challenge me when it comes to trading. There's still people that challenge me when it comes to firewalking, glasswalking, any, like everything. There are always people that are like, it's fake, it's this, it's that, it's not real. You can't give that any energy, right? Where focus goes, energy flows, results show. Focus on the positive aspects of your life. Focus on the people that are being supportive and encouraging. And man, there's no limit to what can be done, including taking a hot pan out of an oven.
This might be a conversation for another podcast, but you do glass walking as well.
Yep.
So is that the same where it's not like massive pieces of like sharp glass? It's crushed down, right?
No, they're pretty massive pieces. I don't want to say trick necessarily. The requirement is that it be thick glass. So that doesn't make it less sharp. There's a very real concern of piercing, right? Like sharp glass piercing the skin. So we never glass walk on just any kind of glass. So it's really phenomenal to make friends with, like, you know, prolific alcoholics who drink a lot of spirits, because those are that's the style of glass that you want. You want a really thick, like a spirit bottle or a wine bottle or something like that. If you check down from that level of thickness, like a beer bottle, for example, or anything less, panes of glass from a window or something like that, it's too thin. Yeah. It will break and splinter. And those kinds of things are so small and sharp that they will absolutely cut you. That's not to say, though, that thicker glass doesn't do the same thing. It's not as fragile. So you will crack the glass as you walk. As you're walking across broken glass, you will hear it snap and pop and break into pieces, but you will not get cut.
So the secret is that the thickness is a certain thickness that it's not kind of sharp enough to pierce the skin. It's got like a...
Oh, it's sharp enough. Like the glass itself is definitely sharp enough. It's that if the glass is too thin and you step on it and it breaks, that it can splinter so small that those little shards can cut you. Thicker glass, when it breaks, it just breaks. Like anything else, like a piece of plastic or a piece of wood, like you break it, it just snaps, right? So glass is the same way. Very, very small glass will shard. You may not get cut, but the risk is so high that we don't do it because it's possible. With a thicker glass, it's not possible. It's going to break. And I mean, think about it. It's glass. You break it, it's going to have a sharp edge. Right. And it's happening right underneath your foot, but it's not going to shard into such small pieces that those things could then twist, step, stick up, and then pierce you. That's the reason. So there's some thought that goes into glasswalk when it comes to that. But what I would say is experience it, or at least witness it, and you'll see. Like the last glasswalk that we did, I did it just because I can't. Like, we're facilitating, and once it's over, I'm like, I'm fucking doing this. Like, keep the camera on. I'm catching it every time I can do it. But like, there were people there that were very excited to do it, and by the end of the presentation and the prep, decided, no way, I'm not doing this. And the people that showed up were like, I'm just curious and want to see other people do it. Flipped and were like, I want to do it. And as they walked across, everybody started freaking out because they could hear the glass snapping and popping, like, oh my God. And they were expecting blood everywhere and all this. But as many people that walk across that glass, I mean, I either go first or last. And with glass walking, fire walking, anything that we do, aero breaks, rebar bends, board breaks, concrete block breaks, all that stuff that we do, I'm either first or last. And the reason is, first is always if they're all disbelievers, right? If everybody is filled with doubt, and they want to know, especially with fire. Okay, you show me that you can walk across there and then I'll do it, right? Then they still take forever to do it because we know that's not it. But they want that level of confidence. And I'm like, I'll walk across this thing however. I don't even know how many times. I would say I'm up around 140 firewalks in my life. So, I mean, it's not worth keeping count. It's just a thing that I do. So it doesn't bother me. Like, if I have to be the example, fine, no big deal. If that's not the case, then I'm last because everybody's done. Everybody's had their experience. And I'm like, well, I'm not leaving until I do it. I mean, I want to do this too, but I know that's a me thing. By me going doesn't serve anybody. So I want to make sure that as a facilitator, everyone has had the experience as many times as they would like or need to before I bother.
Right. Before we end that there, I'm just going to say, next time we do a podcast, we'll see if you actually do the oven thing and the result of it, because I think it'd be very interesting for people who listen to this one to see or know the outcome of that, should you find a justification other than ego to do it. So that'd be very interesting.
Yeah, it can't be ego. That's the thing. Cannot be ego. That can't be the reason that I do anything.
If you had one day to live on the planet, what is the last thing that you'd say to everybody?
I think I would say, I thought you were going to say do. I was ready with that answer. The last thing that I would say to everybody. Wow. Okay. So my gut reaction is just to say, I love you all. That's it. The only thing that comes to mind. I would want to come up with something meaningful and impactful that challenge people's thought and encourage them to change and take control of their lives.
Such as?
Probably to increase their confidence. That's the thing I'm struggling with. I would have to think about all of the examples that I have are about me, and making a statement like that is not about me, it's about them. So that's where I struggle, and I think that's why my gut reaction was to just share love, because that's just a gift that you're giving away, right? That you care and people matter. Sharing examples about me is about me, not about them. So what is it that I could come up with and share? So I other than what I just gave you, like, I don't have the message. That's the thing that I would be struggling with mentally, trying to find something to share that is irrefutable, people cannot argue with, that makes their life better. And next time we talk, maybe I'll have that. We'll start with that.
And finally, anything you want to promote or plug before we end?
While I really appreciate that, I actually don't really. I mean, I'm involved in a lot of things. I believe that the people who are meant to be involved will migrate into my circle naturally. So I don't have anything in particular that I really want to push, not me, not a project that I'm working on, not people that I'm involved with, just appreciation for saying, thanks, man. It's always awesome when we talk. I always have a great time. I never know what to expect whenever we talk about. And I genuinely feel that whenever we have these discussions, there are people out there who take a lot of value from it, and hopefully enhance or enrich their lives because of it. And if anything, I would say, if you need a little bit more of that in your life, reach out to King Oliver here. And if you feel like bugging him to try to get at me, that's fine too. I'll answer whatever I can when I can. I think that's about it.
All right, Scuba Steve, thank you very much for your time, and I'll speak to you again.
Absolutely. All right, buddy. See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you like this episode, please remember to subscribe, turn the bell notifications on, like the episode, and comment below. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's YesKingOliver. Take a look at the other videos to your side. And if you just want to listen to this podcast, you can do so on Apple and Spotify and most other platforms by going to talkwitholiver.com.